This is Tape 1, Side 1, reading the Smalltalk Plus Owner's Manual. The front cover reads, Smalltalk Plus Owner's Manual, Computer Aids Corporation, 124 West Washington, Suite 220, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 46802. The manual begins with warranty information, followed by the FCC compliance statement. These materials will be read at the end of this recording. The reading will begin with a table of contents. Smalltalk Plus Owner's Manual, Table of Contents. Part 1, Introducing Smalltalk Plus. Section 1, Meet Smalltalk Plus, page 1-1. Section 2, Preparing for Use, page 1-6. Section 3, The Voice, page 1-12. Part 2, The Calculator, Section 1, Meet the Calculator, page 2-1. Section 2, Doing Arithmetic, page 2-5. Section 3, Memories, page 2-10. Section 4, Scientific Functions, page 2-13. Part 3, The Word Processor, Section 1, Meet Word Talk, page 3-1. Section 2, Basic Tutorial, page 3-3. Section 3, Editor Tutorial, page 3-9. Section 4, Editor Extras, page 3-18. Section 5, Block Operations, 3-23. Section 6, Format Operations, page 3-26. Section 7, Micro Cassette Tape, page 3-31. Section 8, Print Operations, page 3-37. Section 9, Communications, page 3-41. Section 10, Additional Notes, page 3-45. Part 4, Term Talk. Section 1, Introducing Term Talk, page 4-1. Section 2, More About Modems and Data Transmission, page 4-9. Part 5, Basic, Section 1, Basic Programming, page 5-1. Section 2, Files and Basic, page 5-4. Appendix A, Printer Maintenance, A-1. Appendix B, Error Messages, B-1. Appendix C, WordTalk Reference Card, C-1. Appendix D, Calc Talk Reference Card, D-1. Appendix E, Term Talk Reference Card, E-1. Appendix F, Terminal Emulation, VT-100, F-1. Appendix G, Interfacing, G-1. Part 1, Introducing Smalltalk Plus. The table of contents for part 1. Section 1, Meet Smalltalk Plus. 1.1, Introduction, page 1-1. 1.2, The Manuals, page 1-1. 1.3, What's in the Package, page 1-2. 1.4, A Guided Tour, page 1-2. 1.5, Summary, page 1-5. Section 2, Preparing for Use. 2.1, Introduction, page 1-6. 2.2, Batteries and Charging, page 1-6. 2.3, Turning It On, the System Menu, page 1-7. 2.4, The Function Keys, page 1-8. 2.5, Initializing Smalltalk Plus, page 1-9. 2.6, Summary, page 1-11. Section 3, The Voice. 3.1, Introduction, page 1-12. 3.2, Two Voices, page 1-12. 3.3, Voice Function Keys, page 1-12. 3.4, Momentary Silence, page 1-14. 3.5, summary, page 1-14. Section 1, Meet Small Talk Plus. 1.1, introduction. Congratulations. You have just received one of the finest of a new generation of talking computer devices for the visually impaired. The computer aid Small Talk Plus is unlike any product ever built, combining the power and usefulness of a desktop talking computer with the portability of a pocket calculator. It's a go-anywhere, do-anything system designed from the start to be user-friendly, which means you don't have to know anything about computers to use it. Powered by its own rechargeable internal batteries with no dangling cords or external paraphernalia, SmallTalk Plus is a compact and uncluttered system at home, in the classroom, or the conference room, on your desk, or in your lap. SmallTalk Plus began its life as an Epson HX20 notebook computer. With Epson's permission, ComputerAids has added a built-in voice synthesizer and new programming. SmallTalk Plus, the final product, is a completely integrated system, offering word processing, a calculator, and powerful talking telecommunication software, all of it built in. In this first section of the owner's manual, we'll tell you how information is arranged here. Then we'll take an inventory of the items you've received. Next, we'll begin exploring SmallTalk Plus and preparing to put it to work. 1.2, the manuals. Everything you'll need to know about SmallTalk Plus is in this owner's manual. It is divided into 5 parts. In this first part, we'll be introducing you to SmallTalk Plus, describing its features and physical characteristics. In part 2, the calculator, you'll learn how to use SmallTalk Plus as a scientific calculator. Part 3, the word processor, will show you how to use SmallTalk Plus to take notes, write reports, and get printed output. In part 4, we'll show you how you can use the built-in terminal software to connect your SmallTalk Plus to other computers via a modem. Page 1-2. And if you're interested in writing your own programs for SmallTalk Plus, read Part 5, Basic, and refer as needed to the original Epson manuals provided for this purpose. Additionally, we have provided Appendix A with information about paper and ribbons for the microprinter. The instruction given in this manual is tutorially styled. We'll teach you by showing you examples and asking you to work along with us. We're going to be relaxed and casual and take you step by step through the lessons. 1.3, what's in the package? Go ahead and remove all of the materials from the box containing SmallTalk Plus. Be sure and save all of the original packing materials for future storage and or shipping. Here's what you'll find inside. 1 SmallTalk Plus notebook computer in a soft carrying case. 1 AC adapter wall charger that we refer to as a smart charger. A group of Epson HX20 manuals. This manual and the accompanying audio tapes. In addition to these items, you'll find a postpaid user's registration card. Please take time to fill out and return this card to us. It is your means of validating your warranty. It also helps us to keep you informed about additional programs and accessories as they become available. 1.4, a guided tour. Let's get right into it. Take your SmallTalk Plus out of its case and we'll look it over. It's best to always use both hands when handling SmallTalk Plus. Once out of the case, notice the typewriter-like keyboard. With SmallTalk Plus in the proper operating position, this keyboard is up and towards you with the extended portion of the cabinet on the left. This left end is in addition attached to the main unit. Never lift or carry SmallTalk Plus by this end. Why don't you let SmallTalk Plus sit on your lap? You're going to become close friends. Page 1-3. Now let's talk more about that left end of the cabinet. This is an important component that's permanently attached to the main unit containing SmallTalk Plus's voice synthesizer and memory. Notice that the upper top surface of this piece is a grooved speaker grill. Inside here is, of course, the built-in speaker used by the voice synthesizer. Now look along the very edge and find the volume control. Use this control to adjust the volume of the voice. Right nearby, you'll find a 1/8-inch phone jack that can be used for connecting an external speaker or headphones. You'll notice that the keyboard itself is very much like that found on a standard typewriter. There are two raised dots on the home row position, one on the D and one on the K, to help you get around. There are some extra keys on this keyboard that are special to computers. In fact, there's an entire row of special purpose keys called function keys, just above the typewriter group. We'll have more to say about the keyboard later. Let's go on to the area above the keyboard. Starting on the left, next to the speaker grill, is the built-in micro printer. You'll be able to find the opening that the paper feeds out of. We've already installed a row of paper and the ribbon cartridge in the micro printer for you. The micro printer is a dot matrix type that can print a 24-column line on plain roll paper stored inside. There will be information about using the micro printer in later sections of this manual. Right below the micro printer, you'll find two controls. The one on the left is used to turn the RS-232C port on and off. We'll be talking more about the RS-232C port later as well. The other control just to the right is a paper feed button used when loading paper into the micro printer. This procedure is given in Appendix A. Moving across the top of Smalltalk Plus, you'll see the slick surface of the built-in liquid crystal display, LCD. This screen can display upper and lower case letters, along with numbers and punctuation marks. The format is 80 characters, split into four lines of 20 characters each. The last point of interest on the top is the built-in microcassette unit on the upper right. Smalltalk Plus can save information that you've entered into memory with a word processor permanently on standard microcassettes that are readily available in drug and discount stores. Page 1-4. Now look along the right edge, and you'll find the control that's used to release the door on the microcassette. You'll find an MC30 tape that we've provided for you inside. Before closing the door, just be sure the tape is on all the way back. Then press the door closed. Along the right edge of the unit, in the area of the microcassette door release control, you'll notice a row of four mini jacks. These are not used at this time. In the back corner of the right edge, you can feel a small square opening with a recessed button inside. This is the reset button. It is recessed to protect against accidental resets. Resetting Smalltalk Plus will erase all of the information that you've entered in memory. It is used to restore Smalltalk Plus to factory settings. Nearer to you on this right edge are two additional controls that are important. First, there's a control similar to the volume control on the opposite edge, but this one's used to adjust the viewing angle of the LCD screen. The other control is the most important of all. It is a power switch used to turn Smalltalk Plus on and off. Push the switch away from you to turn Smalltalk Plus on and pull it towards you to turn it off. Please leave it off for now. Last on our tour will be the rear edge of Smalltalk Plus. Everything of interest is near the right end when Smalltalk Plus is in the normal operating position. You'll be able to locate two circular cutouts. These are the serial communication ports. The inner port is a high-speed port to be used for future Smalltalk Plus accessories. This port is labeled Serial. The outer of these ports is a standard RS-232C serial port. You will use it to connect external full-size printers and to connect Smalltalk Plus to other computers for information sharing. This port is labeled RS-232C. The use of the RS-232C port will be discussed in Part 3, the word processor, and in Part 4, Term Talk. Lastly, just to the outside of the serial ports, you'll find a small round female connector that's used for the smart charger. It is labeled Adapter. Page 1-5, 1.5, Summary. Now we've covered all the basics. In this section, we talked about the manual and how you'll be learning Smalltalk Plus. We took an inventory and took you on a guided tour of your unit. Page 1-6, Section 2, Preparing for Use. 2.1, Introduction. This section will help you do the groundwork so that you can begin using Smalltalk Plus. We'll start with the batteries and how to charge them, then we'll turn Smalltalk Plus on and see what happens. Then we'll introduce function keys and show you how to set the clock. 2.2, Batteries and Charging. Smalltalk Plus will run off its built-in NiCad battery pack or off an AC wall outlet via the smart charger. The battery pack should last years without maintenance when used properly. Should you ever suspect that your battery pack is failing, contact your dealer. The battery pack is serviceable only by an authorized computer-aid service center. You should discharge the battery pack completely before recharging. Smalltalk Plus will tell you when it needs charging by displaying and speaking the message, "Charge battery 3 times." And then it will shut itself off. Don't worry about losing any information that you've entered when this happens. Smalltalk Plus shuts down in time to ensure that ample current remains to hold the contents of memory. When it tells you that it needs a charge, turn off the power switch. You'll need to connect the smart charger before continuing with your work. To connect the smart charger, locate the small barrel connector on the end of the smart charger's power cord. Insert this connector into the jack on Smalltalk Plus's back panel. Then, just plug the smart charger into a suitable AC outlet. A red indicator lamp will light on the smart charger to let you know that it is charging Smalltalk Plus. The light will go out when Smalltalk Plus is completely charged. This will take about 8 hours. You can use Smalltalk Plus when it is connected to the smart charger, but it will take longer than 8 hours to full charge it. Page 1-7. Don't hesitate to use a smart charger as a guarantee that your machine won't fail in the middle of something especially important. It won't hurt anything to run Smalltalk Plus out of wall current when doing things like printing a lengthy document or when you plan to use the microcassette extensively. These accessories take a lot of power to run. On a full charge, Smalltalk Plus can last for several days depending on how much you use in mechanical accessories. Any time that Smalltalk Plus is plugged into the smart charger will charge the battery pack if it needs it. It will not overcharge the battery pack, so if you wanted to, you could leave Smalltalk Plus plugged in at all times, since once full charge, the smart charger will stop charging. Why don't you go ahead and connect Smalltalk Plus to the smart charger, and we'll use the AC current. The battery pack has probably run down since it left the factory. 2.3, turning it on, the menu system. With Smalltalk Plus plugged in to the wall, we're ready to turn it on for the first time. Go ahead and push the power switch away from you, and here's what will happen. First, a soft beep will sound, then you'll hear the voice say, "Smalltalk TM X.X," as the system menu is displayed on the screen. Here's the system menu. Smalltalk, parentheses, TM, X.X, W equals word processor, C equals calculator, T equals terminal. Notice that only the title of the menu was read. This is because we're sure that once you know what this screen displays, you'll remember it and won't want to be bothered by having it read to you repeatedly. Press the space bar on the keyboard. Smalltalk Plus will again beep and present you with the system menu. Only this time you'll hear the whole screen read. Page 1-8. Let's take a minute to talk about menus. You may think it's strange to refer to a computer screen as showing a menu. Actually, often one works with a computer through these kinds of menus. Just like a breakfast menu, a computer menu offers you a list of options from which you can make a selection. Smalltalk Plus's system menu offers you any of three built-in programs: word processor, calculator, or terminal. The system is telling you that you can use any of these programs by typing in a single letter to identify your selection. The menu is asking you to enter a W, a C, or a T. If you press any other key, like the space bar a minute ago, Smalltalk Plus will beep and read the entire menu to you to refresh your memory regarding the options available to you. The three built-in programs listed on the system menu are the three subjects of Part 2, the calculator, Part 3, the word processor, and Part 4, the terminal. For now, just recognize the fact that work with Smalltalk Plus always begins with the system menu. With it, you can go back and forth between the three applications. The system menu is so important that it has a special key of its own on the keyboard, which is used exclusively to call it up, as you will see in the next topic. Section 2.4, the function keys. Besides the system menu and other menus used by Smalltalk Plus, there are groups of special function keys on the keyboard. All of the function keys are located above the standard typewriter portion of the keyboard. The first of these function key groups is located in a row, starting just beneath the microprinter area. The keys are thinly shaped and placed side by side in a group of three. Separated from this first group of three by a small space is a second group of five similar keys. The first group of three, the system function keys, will be our subject here. The second group, the voice function keys, are covered in section three, the voice. Generally speaking, function keys provide you with additional controls for Smalltalk Plus. In the case of the first system function key, it is used as an announced button for the built-in clock calendar. Go ahead and press it. Page 1-9. Smalltalk Plus will say something like, "It's 9:26 a.m. on August 10. This key is labeled Date Time. Press it a few times to get used to it, and the next topic will show you how to set the clock. We told you earlier that the system menu was so important that it had its own key. Well, here it is. The second system function key labeled Menu. Anytime it is pressed, Smalltalk Plus will leave whatever it's doing and present you with a system menu. As you'll see, this is the way you get out of whatever application you're currently working in, so you can go on to use another. The third system function key is labeled Break. It is used to abort print and tape operations. You'll see this in action in the examples given in Part 3, the word processor. Remember that all the function keys are additional controls over Smalltalk Plus. Their services are always available to you regardless of whatever else Smalltalk Plus might be doing. Specifically, the Date Time button can be used at any time. It will not interfere with any of the built-in applications. 2.5. Initializing Smalltalk Plus. Initializing Smalltalk Plus is the procedure used to set the date and time and to completely restore Smalltalk Plus to a factory fresh condition. You should perform the initialization procedure given here whenever you need to set the clock. To initialize Smalltalk Plus, you'll start by typing a special character in response to the system menu. This special character is called a control character. Control characters are commonly used on computers as direct commands. There's a special key just outside of the typewriter portion of the keyboard for this purpose. It is located next to the A key on the left end of home row. The key is labeled Control. It is used like a shift key, that is, it doesn't do anything when typed by itself. It must be used in combination with another key. Page 1-10. To initialize your Smalltalk Plus, the other key you'll use in combination with a control key is the at key, just right of the P. We'll refer to this control character as control at. Go ahead and type it. Press the control key down, and while holding it down, type the at key. Then release both keys. Smalltalk Plus will display and read the following message. Enter date and time. MMDDYYHHMMSS equals. Press break to abort. The MMDDYY etc. stuff is a reminder to you about how the date and time are to be entered. The MM is the month, DD is the day, and YY is the year. It goes on with HH for hours, MM for minutes, and lastly, SS for seconds. For each of those components, two characters must be entered. Here's an example. Let's say that today is November 10, 1987, and that it is 8:30 p.m. This is what you'd enter. 11108720300. To complete the entry, press the return key located at the far right end of home row. The return key is labeled return. In this sequence of digits, the first two represent the month, the 11th month. The next two numbers stand for the day, the 10th day. Next comes the last two digits of the current year, 87. Now begins the time with the hours given in military time. 20 hours is 8 o'clock p.m. Next is the minutes, 30. And the last two digits in the sequence represent the seconds. Always use two digits for each component of the date and time specification. When the return key is pressed, completing the date and time setting, Smalltalk Plus will respond by displaying and speaking its copyright notice shown below. Page 1-11. Welcome to Smalltalk TM version X.X. Copyright C, 1985, by Computer Aids Corporation, Fort Wayne, Indiana. All rights reserved, written by Douglas Joffrey and Jeremy Ford. After the copyright information has been read, Smalltalk Plus will once again present you with the system menu. The initialization procedure is now complete. Smalltalk Plus is fresh as a newborn and ready to go to work. 2.6 Summary. You've learned a lot about Smalltalk Plus. We've covered the batteries and charging them, what happens when Smalltalk Plus is first turned on for use, the system function keys, and how to initialize. Page 1-12. Section 3, The Voice. 3.1, Introduction. Smalltalk Plus actually has two voices. In this section, we'll talk about these two voices and the many features associated with them. We'll be looking at each of the voice function keys. 3.2, Two Voices. Smalltalk Plus uses two distinct voices to communicate with you. One of these voices is associated with information that's displayed on the screen. The other voice is associated with keys typed at the keyboard. You can control the many characteristics of each voice independently. By learning the voice controls that will be presented in the next topic, you'll be able to tailor the voice capability of Smalltalk Plus precisely to your own needs. 3.3. Voice function keys. In a row above the standard keyboard, there are a group of the special function keys. These five constitute the voice function keys. You'll use these keys to select from the many various voice features. The first voice function key determines which voice, screen, or keyboard to work with. It's the other four keys that actually control the various voice features, and each voice has its own set of settings. So, with each press of the first voice function key, the screen keyboard modes toggle back and forth. The messages given correspond to the active mode. Page 1-13. Let's go all the way across the row. With the first key set in screen mode, move to the second key. This is the on-off switch. Like the first key and all the rest of the voice function keys, a message announces the active setting as it changes. At the factory, we set both voices on. This factory setting is called a default. Each of the voice function keys has a default setting that you can change to suit yourself. Leave the voice on for now. The next key is the rate key. This is how you control the speed of a voice. Go ahead and press it a few times. You'll hear the speed of the announcements change according to the different settings. The default setting is rate 3. In the beginning, you may want to slow the screen voice down to 2. Or maybe even 1. Later, after experience, you'll probably want to use rate 3 or 4. The next key selects the amount of punctuation marks and special symbols that are read. You might want to hear all the punctuation marks you type, but not when you're reading your work back. There are actually four levels of punctuation groups to choose from. These four levels are none, some, most, and all. Hopefully, their names will suggest to you the nature of their content. None, you can take literally. Nothing but letters of the alphabet and numbers will be voiced. Some selects the various punctuation marks and symbols used in arithmetic. Most adds common punctuation marks used in writing, and all speaks everything, including blank spaces. The default for the screen voice is some, while the default for the keyboard voice is all. Of course, you can select the level that best serves your needs and preferences. The first of the voice function keys is the pitch selector. There are five levels to choose from. The default for both voices is pitch 3. You'll have to experiment with the many different possible voice settings. Some people like to set the keyboard voice a step or two faster than the screen voice. This allows for faster typing. Some like to turn the keyboard voice off altogether and just have the screen voice on. However you set these controls, Smalltalk Plus will remember them, even if you turn it off. Resetting Smalltalk Plus will restore these settings to their defaults. Page 1-14. 3.4, Momentary Silence. Sometimes when Smalltalk Plus is reading something off to you, you'll find it convenient to silence it. There's a special control character that will immediately silence the voice when typed. It is Control X. Try it with the system menu. Just press the space bar to get Smalltalk Plus to rattle off the menu. When in midstream, type Control X. Smalltalk Plus will not speak again until the next time you type something. You'll find this feature handy as you work more with Smalltalk Plus, and especially when you're using the applications. If there's a long reading taking place, maybe you want to silence the voice just for a couple of seconds, but you want the reading to pick back up somewhere further on. You can use Control X to restore a reading that was silenced by Control X. Provided, of course, there's more to say. 3.5 Summary. Congratulations! You've graduated your basic training and are now ready to go on and put Smalltalk Plus to work. This section focused on the voice features and how they are controlled. You learned about the voice function keys and the Control X momentary silence. There is another way to silence your Smalltalk Plus, which is known as interruptibility. We'll save this feature for later, however, until after you've had a little more time to get used to operating your Smalltalk Plus. Part 2, the calculator. Table of contents. Section 1, meet the calculator. 1.1, introduction, page 2-1. 1.2, overview, page 2-1. 1.3, turning the calculator on off, page 2-2. 1.4, the keyboard, page 2-3. 1.5, help mode, page 2-3. 1.6, summary, page 2-4. Section 2, doing arithmetic. 2.1, introduction, page 2.5. 2.2, using the four basic functions, page 2-5. 2.3, clearing and correcting, page 2-7. 2.4, the times minus key, page 2-7.
Cluster in the
2.5, a printing calculator, page 2-8. 2.6, summary, page 2-9. Section 3, memories. 3.1, introduction, page 2-10. 3.2, mem read and mem write, page 2-10. 3.3, mem swap, page 2-11. 3.4, mem plus, page 2-12. 3.5, summary, page 2-12. Section 4, scientific functions. 4.1, introduction, page 2-13. 4.2, square and square root, page 2-13. 4.3, trigonometry, page 2-15. 4.4, logarithms, page 2-16. 4.5, other exponents and roots, page 2-16. 4.6, percent and 1x, page 2-17. 4.7, summary, page 2-18. Page 2-1. Section 1, meet the calculator. 1.1, introduction. Smalltalk Plus comes complete with a built-in scientific calculator. It's capable of everything from simple arithmetic to advanced trigonometric and logarithmic operations. In this section, we'll describe the calculator and its features and show you how to turn it on and off. Lastly, in this section, we'll show you what keys on the keyboard you'll be using when calculating and how to use help mode. 1.2, overview. As you know, your Smalltalk Plus talking notebook is indeed a notebook, but there's more. Smalltalk Plus is also capable of becoming, in effect, a talking scientific calculator. Using Smalltalk Plus as a calculator is as easy as pressing a button, so think of the machine as being much like other talking calculators that you're probably familiar with. However, this calculator has a lot more to offer. The actual computer program in Smalltalk Plus that enables it to become a calculator is called CalcTalk. CalcTalk features all the standard four functions of addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, and also has 10 memories. You can use any exponents, take any root, perform trigonometry, and you can also use natural log and common log functions. In addition to the operations listed above, you also have an inverse key that, when coupled with one of the scientific functions, will give you the mathematical inverse of that function. For example, the inverse of the square is the square root. The inverse of the sine is the arc sine, and so on. Page 2-2. If you want a printed record of your calculations, CalcTalk will, when instructed to, print each number you enter, the operation itself, and the results of those operations. All this comes out neatly printed on the microprinter. This printing feature is easy to turn on and off as needed. You can use CalcTalk anytime you want. It will not interfere with any of Smalltalk Plus's other built-in programs. That is, you can be in the middle of writing a report using the word processor and leave it for a moment to use the calculator for a quick calculation. And when you later return to word processing, you'll find everything there just as you left it. Word processing will be covered in Part 3, the word processor. When using Smalltalk Plus as a calculator, the keyboard turns into an advanced calculator keyboard. You'll still be using the standard typewriter portion of Smalltalk Plus's keyboard. Only the keys temporarily take on new meanings. The right-hand area of the keyboard is used like a typical adding machine. The left-hand keys are used for the memory and scientific functions. You'll see all the new key meanings in a coming topic. 1.3, turning the calculator on/off. By now, you've surely noticed the C equals calculator option offered to you by the system menu. All you need to do to turn on CalcTalk is select C from this menu. You'll hear the following message: CalcTalk TM X.x. This message is simply CalcTalk's way of identifying itself. Notice the version number that follows the name. It could be important if you ever need technical support for CalcTalk from your dealer. After the message is read, you're there. Smalltalk Plus can now be thought of as a straight scientific calculator. Remember that you're now working with a keyboard that has a new meaning. The new meaning of the keys is the subject of the next topic in this section. Page 2-3. Now let's see how you turn CalcTalk off. Remember the Smalltalk Plus system menu key? That's right. The second key on the system function key row is the menu key. Whenever you're finished with the calculator, simply press the menu key. 1.4, the keyboard. You can think of the calculator key arrangements as basically consisting of two 16-key key groups, one group located under your right hand and one located under your left hand. Each group is made up of four rows, each with four columns. In addition to the two 16-key key groups, there are two other keys that are used by CalcTalk, the return key and the space bar. Each of the keys used by CalcTalk is shown in Appendix D. Of course, when you turn CalcTalk off, all keys on Smalltalk Plus's keyboard return to their normal definitions, that of a standard typewriter. 1.5, help mode. Now that you know what keys to press, you might want to try a few of them. We have help mode just for such experimentation. Help mode is just a way of being able to press a key and hear its meaning without actually doing any computing. Maybe you'll from time to time forget where a certain function key is located. All that you need to do is first press the command key, and while holding it down, press the key you're curious about. The key will announce its meaning without disturbing display or any part of pending computation. This feature will probably be most useful for reviewing the arrangement of the left-hand function keys. Go ahead and try it out. Page 2-4. Of course, if you want, you can just press keys without using the command key, and you'll hear the same announcements. Doing it this way, however, will also cause the key's functions to be performed, but that won't hurt anything so as long as you're not in the middle of an important calculation. Again, go ahead and familiarize yourself with the calculator's keys. Either way you do it, a basic knowledge of the arrangement will help you in the next section where we'll begin doing some arithmetic. 1.6, summary. We've covered a lot of fundamental information in this section. We presented an overview that should help you understand CalcTalk's many features and its relationship to Smalltalk Plus. We showed you how to get in and out of the calculator program, and lastly, we identified the keys used by CalcTalk and showed you how to review the key arrangement using the help mode. Page 2-5, Section 2, Doing Arithmetic. 2.1, Introduction. Now you're ready to begin using CalcTalk. In this section, we'll do some examples of four-function arithmetic: addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. We'll even show you how to do arithmetic with negative numbers. Then we'll enable the microprinter and talk about how this printing calculator feature works. 2.2, using the four basic functions. If you're not already in CalcTalk, call up the system menu and select C. Now, just keep your hands on the home row and we'll get into our first calculation. We'll start with an easy one. With the index finger of your right hand in its home row position, press the key the finger is resting on, the J. This is, of course, now the one key, due to the new meaning of the keys. When you press the key, you'll hear the voice say, one, and this number will be displayed on the screen. Press down with your middle finger for the two, then press down with your ring finger for the three. Now we have 1, 2, 3 on the screen. You can review the screen with the space bar. Just press it once, and you'll hear 123. Notice that the number is spoken as full words rather than a series of digits. You can review this way anytime you want. Reviewing with the space bar does not have any effect on the number on the screen. The ability for CalcTalk to announce each key's name as it is typed and the reading of numbers displayed on the screen are both dependent on the settings of the voice function keys, so you can choose for yourself what voice features work best for you. Also, as always, you can use the Control X to stop the voice momentarily anytime you want. This is the end of Tape 1, Side 1. The reading will continue on Side 2.